77, 70 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So we are in number one of the Triple Dipper. It's Monday, 2:36 PM, May the 2nd. Triple Dipper number one, shifting winds in Alabama politics is what I'm calling it. Shifting winds in Alabama politics. Is there a shifting of the winds? Some would say yes. It's kind of interesting because some of the dynamics have changed. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about bending with the winds. I'm not talking about being so, you know, fluid in your political stances that you're suddenly different than what you said you were yesterday. That happens, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I am talking about, though, are some of the things that are changing in some of the major races in the state, or at least for that matter, the tensions that are arising. So let me just tell you, in case you're not tracking right now, I really do believe there's going to wind up being a primary runoff. Now, the Democrat and Republican primaries are set for May 24th, so we are literally just barely 3 weeks away, maybe three in a day or two. So we're like 3 weeks on a wake-up is what we are. The Democrat-Republican primary is set for May 24th, and then there will be runoffs, I guarantee you, in some of those races, and that runoff then will be scheduled for June 21st. And the deadline, by the way, to register, if you haven't already done so, to vote, is May 9th. So May 9th, get that. You got 7 days left to register, 1 week? You've got to be registered to vote by then, otherwise you can't vote in the primary. So yes, if you have not done so, please do so. Now, looking around the state, where do I think there's going to be runoffs? I think this listening area right here is going to see three major runoffs at the very least. I think you're going to wind up seeing a runoff in the governor's race. I think you're going to wind up seeing a runoff in the U.S. Senate race. And I think you're going to wind up seeing a runoff in Congressional District 5. Wow. Phil, you're predicting that much. Yes, I am. Governor's race? I mean, governor's race is Kay Ivey has the power of the incumbency. She is literally on top. For a variety of reasons. Some folks like her. Some folks are just used to her name. She has a huge name ID. I talked about that the other day. And then some folks just believe that because she's there, she's the devil you know, so we'll just keep her. And there's that. So Kay Ivey is in the lead, but she has to have 50% by state law. She has to reach 50% plus a little bit to be able to avoid the runoff. Well, right now, depends on what poll you're looking at. There's very few that show her breaching the 50% mark. So, all that to say, I think right now you're looking at some new dynamics that are coming out. A shifting of the winds in the governor's race. The interesting dynamic is, I think if you had asked me 2 weeks ago, I would say just on the polls, this is not an endorsement, this is nothing. I'm just saying just on the polls, just on the political winds that were blowing then, it was going to wind up being Kay Ivey and Tim James in a runoff. We'll talk to Jeff Poore at the top of the hour, but he's got some new stuff happening in a poll they did down in Mobile area that seems to indicate that Lou Burdett has made a great stride, that right now we would be looking at a runoff between Lou Burdett and Kay Ivey. That would be interesting because here's a guy who came out of nowhere, who literally has, you know, maybe, what, 15% of the money she has. Which, by the way, that tells you something. If you've been in politics for 40 years, like Kay Ivey, if you have been the governor of the state for 6 years, like Kay Ivey, if you were the lieutenant governor before that and the state treasurer before that, and you cannot carry your weight enough to avoid having this kind of a primary season, then you are in jeopardy, and you are not as popular as you claim to be. That's just the reality of it. You cannot look at this and go, okay, we have 8 Republicans running against an incumbent governor. What the heck? So that is a big deal. Right now you're looking at, I mean, still right now I would say the top 4 candidates are Kay Ivey, Lou Burdett, Tim James, and Lindy Blanchard. There's others in the race, and there's even Democrats in the race. Democrats have a primary. And you're not hearing a thing about them because there ain't no money being put into them. But right now, you've got Democrats, Yolanda Flowers, Patricia Jameson, Arthur Kennedy, and Chad Chig Martin, Malika Sanders Fortier, and Doug New Blue Smith. New Blue, Copper. I saw you look up. Yes, he actually has that listed as part of his name. New Blue. New Blue Smith. And on the Republican side, of course, it's Kay Ivey, Lindy Blanchard, Lou Burdett, Stacey Lee George, Tim James, Donald Trent Jones, which we can write that one off now, Dean Odle, Dave Thomas, Dean Young. That's a horse race right there. Well, what that means is all those Republicans in the primary, they're drawing votes away. Every one of them has their own level of percentage. Kay Ivey has to have 50% plus, and yet she can't get there, in part because the field is stacked so hard against her. But at the same time, it's not just that. It's because there is a field that wants to be stacked against her because she is not as popular as they would have you to believe. Right now, if everything about her commercials is accurate, she should be running at 72%. She's not. I'm predicting right now that she's going to wind up being somewhere between 38 and 42%. That's my prediction. You write it down, Copper. Write it down somewhere. Put it on the wall. Put a sticky note on it. I'm saying Kay Ivey. This is May the 2nd, 2:42 p.m. She'll have 38 to 42%. You got it? All right. We're good. Copper's nodding her head affirmatively. Okay. So there's that. Now, what else is happening, though? Within the U.S. Senate race, yeah, got a little bit jumpy here lately. So you heard all the stuff we talked about on my show last week about whether or not there's going to be a U.S. Senate debate. It looks like there's not going to be a U.S. Senate debate. Why would that be? Pray tell, why would that be? Well, it's because right now it appears because Mike Durant won't agree. Mike Durant has gone into do no harm mode, and Mike Durant is also finding that his own comments have been some of his, you know, biggest issues to deal with. Because he doesn't have a voting record, they can't ding him on voting. Because he doesn't have, a career that was checkered, they can't use that. So they're pulling a few family things out of his life and trying to make hay out of it. I don't think it's sticking very well. But what they are dinging him on right now is he won't debate. He must not be as brave as he says he is. It's kind of the mantra they're singing. And then the other thing that came up is who is funding his race? And it's gotten to be kind of, I won't call it subliminal, but definitely the running below the surface discussion is who really is funding his race? And are they truly connected to all that anti-Trump Lincoln Project movement? Well, this weekend, and this is what they do, by the way. It was probably an ambush. It was probably intentional. They have these folks that stalk the races. They literally go out and they try to ambush one of the opposing candidates, scream a question at them, film the response or lack thereof, and then make claims that the response or lack thereof is news. I don't know that it's as big a deal as they're trying to make it out to be, but he was asked this weekend by a reporter as he's walking into an event, Mike Durant was, not reporter, but he was by somebody who was there with a camera, by the way. You know, Mr. Durant, will you reject the Lincoln Project? Well, he didn't answer. So they're saying, Mike Durant refuses to reject the Lincoln Project. So, I don't know. But here's the bottom line, though. AL.com. AL.com reporting that on this past weekend, April 29th, plans for a debate between Republican candidates for Senate are apparently dead after Mike Durant declined to accept 3 dates offered by the Alabama Republicans Party Chair John Wall said Thursday night. Okay. Wall said that Durant opponents Katie Britt and U.S. Representative Mo Brooks had both agreed to 3 separate dates. In other words, you had 2 out of the 3 major campaigns in this race who got together and said, yeah, we can do it on this date, or this date. And they agreed. And they were all in, apparently. But Durant's camp opted, it says in the article, not to participate after Durant said last week that he would participate if a suitable date was available. Now, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. If your state party is hosting the event, so you're not worried about it being skewed, you're not worrying about it being partisan or having to argue with the moderator, if your state party is the one hosting the event and they've already made arrangements to have it televised statewide, which it was, and you won't do it because, well, you know, we got these things. We're gonna go to the county fair in this county. That, while you might say we're out there meeting the real people on the street, well, this would have spoken to the whole state full of real people. And it would have allowed them to see you stand in contrast to the other candidates. But what it also means is you're in do no harm mode. You don't run the risk of getting on the stage and having them ding you or try to make sound bites for their own commercials by throwing accusations at you and seeing if you can handle it. Well, John Wall did confirm that Durant said he could not take part in the three dates. And then Wall also said he believed the fact that Durant was leading in the polls is what factored into the process. Yes, that was a decision right there. Man, we're leading right now. Let's don't screw this up. And so I guarantee you the backroom discussion at the Durant campaign was, no, just listen. Don't answer any questions. Just go to the events. Keep plugging the commercials. We only got 3 weeks. Let's don't screw this up. So that's what's going on right there. The race, by the way, the race for this whole U.S. Senate thing is for number two. Because unless something changes, Durant's going to be number one. This runoff is going to wind up being between either Durant and Britt or Durant and Brooks. And right now, my sense of it is, it's still going to be Durant and Brooks. That's, you know, some would go, Phil, how can you say that? Katie Britt, she's got a dynamic personality. I agree. She does. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I wish I had Mo Brooks's voting record, Katie Britt's personality, and Mike Durant's military resume all wrapped up into one person. I'd be a very happy man. But nonetheless, I think her personality is not overriding the fact that she worked for Richard Shelby and she is seen as the establishment candidate, and that's not getting through. I think Mo Brooks is seeing a bounce back from the Trump withdrawal of the endorsement. And so, yeah, I think right now what you're seeing is a bump from Mo Brooks. Remains to be seen. 3.5 weeks. 3 weeks, 2 days. 3 weeks in a wake-up. But there's more happening. I'll tell you about a few other things like this. Like, first of all, who is funding things in this race? And what happened the other night when six Republican gubernatorial candidates got together? And who's the dude trying to sell his yoga books at the gubernatorial forum? Yeah, I'll tell you about that when we get back. All right, Copper, move us to a break. We'll go ahead and take that. We'll be right back. And then top of the hour, Jeff Poore is calling in. Y'all stay tuned. We got plenty more to go. Number one of the Triple Dipper, shifting winds in Alabama politics. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time, I like to say. Hey, guys, listen, you hear me talk about it all the time, and they run their ads on the show here. 1819 News, I got a story I'm about to pull from them because I resource my show daily on a ton of different websites, ton of different news sources. And some are, you know, in line with my thinking. Some are just neutral, and some are definitely left-leaning, just so I can see what the enemy's saying. But the one that I go to when I want to see something about Alabama news that is just going to be straight up, like I know when I get it, I'm not getting what I call the skew and the spew, is 1819news.com. That's 1819news.com. I know these folks personally, and listen, they are good at what they do, and they have got a staff of reporters. I was talking to Dale Jackson earlier, and I was telling him, man, they got a whole crew over there. They got, like, investigative reporters. They've got background reporters. They've got editors and assistant editors. I mean, they didn't come in and do this, like, willy-nilly. This is an operation. 1819 News is determined to call the balls and the strikes in the news. They keep their editorial content off to the side. But on top of that, y'all, they also write stories that make you glad to be in Alabama. And that's missing from a lot of the other outlets. So I would just encourage you, if you haven't done it already, go check out 1819news.com. That's 1819news.com. So a story I pulled off of 1819 came out, let's see, what day is this? It would have come out Thursday, I believe. So I'm looking at it right now. I mentioned it briefly on the show the other day. Six Republican gubernatorial candidates participated in a debate in Huntsville. Yes, they did. The six contenders seeking to unseat incumbent Governor Kay Ivey faced off in a sold-out live debate at the Event Center at Roto-Rooter in Huntsville Tuesday night. Lindy Blanchard, Tim James, Lou Burdett, Dean Odle, Dave Thomas, who I don't know, and Donald Trent Jones. Now, let me just tell you, friends of mine, Scott Beeson, we used to be in the Senate together. He helped moderate it. Some of the team from 1819 News was there. A group called Focus on America. And there were opening statements that were good. There was also some little feistiness going on. Dean Odell and Lou Burdett kind of got into it a little bit, got to mix it up a little bit, to the point that literally at one point, Tim James, who was standing between them, said, maybe I should just step back and let you guys have at it or something like that. They talked about the issues, but the thing that I was going to bring up, the thing that caught my eye, so Ray Melick is the chief editor at 1819, and I saw a picture from the event, and I texted him, and I said, dude, who's the guy in the flowery jacket? So one fellow was on stage, literally, and I'll just go ahead and tell you, he's from Montevallo, his name's Donald Trent Jones, he says he's running for governor, not says, he is, he's running for governor, apparently. He wore what they describe in the article as John Lennon-style amber-tinted eyeglasses, a beauty contest white sash across his chest that had the word governor printed on it, a blue jacket that was covered with all kinds of 1960s symbols like butterflies and stars and hearts and peace symbols and guitars and other kind of hippie-era symbols, and introduced himself as saying, I'm your yoga governor. He's a yoga instructor, and he's running as a yoga instructor. And he said that literally, he finally admitted his whole candidacy was only a ploy to promote his not-for-profit yoga enterprise. Copper, what does anything about a yoga instructor, does that qualify him to run for governor? How does that work in your mind?
No. My goodness, he was really a yoga instructor. Well, that outfit makes sense now.
Well, no, the outfit still didn't make sense, but I mean, the white beauty, the pageant sash that, like, he literally was, I saw he was wearing a silk sash that says governor across it. Like, okay, you're a cartoon in action. But I mean, I'll be honest with you, I take issue with the concept of people just kind of mocking the whole process, because being the governor of the state is a big hairy deal. I mean, we need somebody there with leadership. Look at all the things that Ron DeSantis is having to deal with. I'm not staring at you like saying, look at this copper. I'm just saying, I'm speaking out loud, and there you are. But, I'm talking to my audience. Look at all the things that a governor has to do and has to do well, with billions of dollars in budgeting, with an education system. And this guy's he's really just doing it to sell his yoga book. I mean, I hope nobody buys his yoga book at this point because of that. But anyway, there's that. That article was on 1819, and, Charlene just corrected me. She said, no, you said it looked like the Technicolor coat. Wasn't there a movie that the Technicolor dream coat? Yes. Joseph and the Technicolor dream coat. Yes. That's what he was wearing. Thank you, honey. I heard you. I got the text. My favorite groupie, Charlene, texted me things that I need to say on the air. All right. Listen, other things in the news, we'll cover them after we talk to Jeff Poore. Like, who's funding the governor's race? You wouldn't believe the amount of money. Did you know how much money Lindy Blanchard has loaned her campaign? It's twice what I thought it was before. And then what did the latest poll say? We'll talk about all that. But first, we're going to talk to Jeff Poore, get his sense of things, including a new poll from down in South Alabama. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.